Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Pin Gillette.
Okay. Hey, this is Pin Gillette, Las Vegas, Nevada, on Free FM, sitting here with my friend Michael Goudeau. And we're going to talk about some. First, we're going to light up a cigarette here. You got a match, Goudeau? Got a match with that? I thought I'd have a cigarette while I'm here. We're in a small room, but secondhand smoke will not hurt you. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Sure do like a good cigarette when I'm on the air. 866-313-FREE, 3733. Penradio at gmail.com, penradio.com. You know, 10 years ago, if I had been a smoker and you're in the small room, you would just be breathing in all the smoke. You'd have no recourse whatsoever.
I would, of course, just suffer.
That's true today, too.
Yes.
This is my goddamn house. You'll breathe what I want you to breathe. But I think you actually would have a case. You know, you are employed, so they say. So you could probably go and fight. Even in Vegas, where everything is supposed to be legal, there's all sorts of stuff on secondhand smoke. And I am still skeptical of secondhand smoke. 866-313-FREE, 3733. I'd like somebody to call with real information about secondhand smoke. What we're going to get, of course, is people calling with anecdotal stories, which are better if they involve a cat being given monkey tranquilizers. Then we like anecdotal. Penradio at gmail.com, P-E-N-N-R-A-D-I-O at gmail.com. Penradio.com is where you can go, hear the groovy music, see the website, and write us a Gmail. We get it right away, or you can call in. There's a lot of smoking news in the paper, a lot of smoking news, and there's
very
this.
Very little of it involving monkeys.
None of it.
That's
so
sad.
It's also not the right day for that. There's this study, Workplace Risks Study, Smoke Imperils Casino Staffs. Now, if you're going to do a study on secondhand smoke, I think that Vegas is the place to do it because they allow smoking. I mean, I think there are a couple of smoke-free casinos, but for the most part, there is smoke everywhere in Vegas. Now, in the showrooms, it's no longer allowed. I don't know, because Celine Dion's delicate pipes, I suppose. I suppose that's the reason that we all...
No one's allowed to smoke in our theater except for Lance.
Lance does smoke, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Right in his show.
Right on the show, yeah, right in the middle of it.
He produces cigarettes. And,
yep.
And did Lance start smoking because he was doing cigarettes in his show?
I think that he did, yeah.
Because he smokes off stage too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's tried to quit, but you know what? When you smoke 8 every show, that would take a tough man there.
You know, he would have a good lawsuit against himself saying that he's forced to smoke in his workplace if he wanted to sue Lance Burton Productions. That is the problem with working for yourself, you know. You don't have anybody to sue. That's really good. That's really good for that. 866-313-FREE, 3733. We want to talk to people about, I'm going to read more of this study, but I don't want to forget this. It's very, very important. The story we had yesterday about the, and I know that was for monkeys. It's going to be very brief. The story we had yesterday about the monkeys drinking wine.
Yep.
The zookeeper that was feeding the monkeys the wine, putting in their tea and having them drink wine. That man's name, he was from Hungary, that man's name is Zoltan.
Yes,
it's the same name as my son. He's named Zoltan. He's feeding wine to monkeys. If I'd have known this in advance, I would have told people that's who I named him after. I would have just forgotten all about Easy's maiden name. Screw that. Oh, that's Easy's maiden name also? I didn't even know that. I just think any man who feeds monkeys cheap wine deserves to have my son named after him. That would have been the take
Zoltan
I would have
Hanga.
Hanga?
Hanga. H-A-N-G-A.
Oh, Hanga.
Hanga.
Okay. I thought you were saying where an airplane was kept in Boston. But his name is Hanga. Okay. And we also want to say that the kangaroo thing about kangaroo meaning I don't understand you, false. This is the correction time in the Pen Gillette show. This is when we tell you what we did wrong the day before. And most important, while we're getting to the secondhand smoke, speaking of famous smokers and fabulous smokers, happy birthday to Robert Zimmerman from Hibbing, Minnesota, Bob Dylan, who's 65 years old today. And he who's not busy being born is busy dying. He will stay forever young. Bob Dylan, who smokes like a goddamn chimney. Bob Dylan, I mean, if you've ever seen Bob Dylan anywhere, he has a cigarette in his hand. He chain smokes all the time. And the secondhand smoke thing is so nuts. I mean, people are claiming that there's this article. And, you know, this is great. It claims to be a scientific article, right? This is a scientific article. It's 5 years of research led by University of Nevada Reno department head in Reno and Las Vegas casinos have concluded there's a direct correlation between exposure to secondhand smoke in the workplace and damage to the employee's DNA. That sounds like science, doesn't it?
That sounds like science.
It sure does. Where was this published? American Medical Association? No, not the American Medical Journal. Not the Harvard Review. It's in the Review Journal, the Las Vegas Review Journal. It's in the newspaper.
Peer-reviewed.
It's peer-reviewed. And the sad thing is, it probably is peer-reviewed. I mean, I don't know. I've never heard of these scientists. But anyway, funded by a $2.5 million grant from the National Institutes of Health, the clinical trial followed 125 employees who work on the gambling floors of casinos in both Northern and Southern California. The subjects of the study were non-smokers who were not exposed to secondhand smoke in their households. A very important study. If there's anything to this study, it's huge, because as far as I've seen so far, every single report on secondhand smoke has been about children living in a house, probably in Iceland, where they never go out, and both parents smoking heavily. And I think there's been clear studies that show that that kind of secondhand smoke does have serious repercussions. But I've always been skeptical of the kind of secondhand smoke that they're usually talking about.
Well, claiming DNA damage is pretty lame. I mean, really, obviously, oxygen causes DNA damage. So maybe we should cut out the oxygen from our homes.
Right, yeah.
You know, sunlight causes DNA damage.
Everything causes DNA damage.
Everything causes DNA damage.
But they are saying that the DNA damage is the kind that goes to cancer and so on. And there's another point that they make. Maybe what I said was wrong right away, that the air handling systems in Vegas casinos are astonishingly good. Not good enough for people who do that. Someone smoking? Someone, you know, that irritating thing? But have we got a phone call you want to take?
Well,
did one strike your fancy?
One of them has struck my fancy.
Well, let's take that call then.
And that's so painful. My fancy aches. Let's talk. Oh, we lost him.
He was afraid.
We had the phone call. He was talking about his 88-year-old grandma who has smoked since she was 8.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not going to happen to everybody. And this is a really interesting study that I found. And just in full disclosure, we did an episode, a year ago or something?
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago?
2 years
on
ago.
Bulls Hit. About secondhand smoke. And we came out very strongly against legislation about secondhand smoke. Very strongly against that. The reasons being that I believe in as much freedom as possible. And I believe that the information is out there about cigarette smoking. The information is out there, whatever you want it for, with secondhand smoke. And I believe the free market will take care of this. I mean, I believe that had there not been regulation, that airlines would have on their own had a non-smoking flights.
Sure.
And restaurants would have had non-smoking sections, and soon you would have smoke-free restaurants. The same as we have smoke-free casinos in Las Vegas. Are there a couple of smoke-free casinos?
I think there are. Yeah,
yeah, there are. We don't know the names of them.
No, we
and
don't.
And no one ever goes there. but there are. Somebody should know.
Unless it has a really good restaurant, I really don't hit the casinos all that often.
Well, Vegas, Vegas, people listen in Vegas. We're on in New York,
sure,
and D.C., but we're also on in Vegas. So if someone in Vegas knows what the smoke-free casinos are, it saves us so much typing if you just call us up. 866-313-FREE. Now, there's a really interesting thing about smoking, and this also ties in with Al Gore's movie, The Inconvenient Truth, about manipulating your audience and your public and not trusting them. The government just told tobacco companies that they had to spend X amount of money to educate school children about the dangers of smoking, okay? And they were told in their mandate that they had to help children understand how dangerous cigarette smoking is, right? That was the mandate. And they're forced to pay you know, hundreds of dollars in order to do this, right? Big tobacco, the bad guys are forced to do this. Now, I read this somewhere, or maybe I made it up, because you remember this is the Penn Jillette show. You can never tell. But I remember vividly, which means it could have been a fever dream, that there was a study that said that school-age children overestimate the dangers of smoking. As a matter of fact, I believe most people, smokers and non-smokers, in the United States and Great Britain, overestimate the dangers of cigarette smoke, which means if they are given the mandate to educate children about the dangers of smoking, they have to start telling them it's safer than they thought.
Cut back a little bit.
Or no, cut back a little bit, or do contrary things. Because, sure, you know, if you smoke from the time you're 12 to the time you're 90, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to die of cigarette smoking. It's not like getting hit by a bus, you know. The LD50 rate is different, you know, than being hit by a bus. So do we have a phone call you want to take?
Sure.
Did someone else strike your fancy?
Someone else has struck my fancy.
866-313-3733.
Yeah, why don't we talk to Robert on line three. Are you there, Robert?
Hi,
hello, Robert. You have struck Michael Goudeau's fancy. How are you?
Good. First-time caller.
Well, thank you.
I actually enjoy the show. I had quit. I smoked for 10 years, actually, from age 12.
Uh-huh.
And no, actually more. It must be about 15 years. And I stopped for a year and because I had bad asthma, and I used to feel these symptoms, and I felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest.
Uh-huh.
And I quit. And
but you're sure that an elephant was not sitting on your chest?
What?
You were sure an elephant was not sitting on your chest. You eliminated that. Okay. So you felt this horrible asthma.
Terrible, terrible. I used to wake up in the morning. I just couldn't breathe. And I quit, and the symptoms went away. I was in a convention, and everyone was smoking in that convention, and my room was a smoking room, the only room left. Uh-huh. I woke up the next morning, that morning at the convention, the exact same symptoms as I had I been smoking. That I used to get when I was smoking. Now, that's not scientific evidence, but it's just cool to me that secondhand did the same thing for me. And what I did was I said, what the hell, if I'm going to feel this way, I might as well be smoking. And it took me back for another 6 months.
So did it really? Did you start smoking again?
Yep, I started again.
Oh, that's the cool part of the story. That's the really cool part. Well, you know, you already put up your protective shield by saying that it doesn't prove anything. It's just an anecdotal story. So I can't just say that to attack you. But it's really cool that you started
yeah,
smoking again.
Some people apparently like elephants sitting on their chest.
Sure.
So
sure.
I've met old men in nursing homes that were smoking that have been smoking their whole life.
Sure. Sure, it's it really seems like there's a genetic predisposition, which is really interesting because with all the genetic coding we're doing, studies we're doing, we're going to find out very soon who is predisposed to having cigarette smoking bother them, and then the other ones should be able to smoke. But it's also possible you built up an allergic reaction over the years to smoking, and so when you got just the whiff of it, it might have triggered something that wasn't necessarily, would not have bothered somebody who hadn't been a smoker. But thanks a lot for calling, man. I love it when smart, sensible people call.
Did you see the other one that the government wants to put a warning on it on labels that smoking might cause blindness?
Well, that's in England.
That's in England?
Yeah, in England. So that's the problem with the web with kids like you, Michael Goudeau.
It is.
Kids like you and the web, you don't look at where it's from.
Well,
BBC
News. I had
News.
A joke, and so I was going to...
Oh, do the joke.
They just think they're blind or smoke in front of their faces. I can't read this paper as well when I'm smoking.
But yeah,
that was it.
They also do the big...
sorry.
It's fine. They also do... England is really big. Do they have this? I haven't seen a pack of cigarettes in years, so I don't even know. But they're big on impotence. You know, it causes impotence.
No, I think that's the warning you should put on it.
Well, that's what they do.
That's
very
effective. In my book, that would do it. Lung cancer? Nah.
It's called for the government to add smoking causes blindness warning to others currently carried on cigarette packets. You can tell it's England. They said packets. Okay. They don't say packs. Cigarette packets. Which include smoking kills. Two simple words. Jesus wept. Smoking kills. and smoking may cause impotence. Okay? They just add that in there. Now they're going to add blind. So the thing is that because you're impotent, you may be less apt to go blind from self-abuse. So maybe it evens itself out. Maybe it's okay in terms of if that's all you care about, maybe you can protect your sight either by smoking or not smoking, either way. Someone else struck your fancy?
Yes, let's talk to Chris on line 6.
Hey, Chris, this is Penn. How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Never better, boss. What's up?
All right. I used to live out in Las Vegas, and now I'm in New Jersey. But when I was out there, there's a chain of casinos called Dotties.
Dotties?
Dotties, yeah. D-O-T-T-Y-S. There's a lot of them out towards Henderson, out by Eastern.
Uh-huh, sure.
And they cater to women. There's no smoking and no drinking within the casino confines.
No drinking?
No drinking.
This is the greatest place in the world. Are the waitresses topless?
Well, after just listening to you for the last 2 minutes, you know what I decided? When I smoke in England, I'm only going to smoke here because here it won't cause me to go blind.
Exactly. You want to be? Are you a smoker?
From time to time, yes.
From time to time, okay. It's just, okay, thanks a lot. So it's Dotties is one of the casinos. That's,
yeah, a lot of them offer non-smoking areas also. I think every casino has a non-smoking.
Every smoking, yeah, they have a little. And in a lot of the airports, they have a little smoker zoo.
I've seen that little booth.
Those little smoker zoos are so goofy.
That's what they call the fishbowl out there.
Oh, they call it the fishbowl, yeah.
And everybody walks past and looks at you when you're in there having a cigarette.
Oh, it's fabulous. And just for kicks, you know, there's like in the one in Vegas, because Vegas is a smoke-free airport, except for these little glass booths that are about the size of, I guess, a prison cell in Gitmo. And they, the one difference is they have a line of slot machines down the middle. And then it is just, I mean, going blind. And I went in there once because I was with somebody. Who was I with that was smoking? Oh, Provenza probably. And I was, I walked into the room to say something to him. And it is astonishing. I mean, you can save the cost of cigarettes. People, see, this is why they check your boarding pass before you can go through airport security. Because otherwise, smokers who are too cheap to buy packs would just go to the airport and sit in that room. You can just sit in that room. And, I mean, I had a headache, like, I mean, instantly. In that, and I am the toughest person about smoke. I mean, when our whole crew smoked a lot, I would go into the magic room where they prepare stuff, you know. And all the props in the Penn & Teller show were, like, dripping with nicotine. Because these guys would all chain smoke, like, filterless cigarettes, and this little room, because it had to be secret, right? We're setting up secret props for Penn & Teller. And they would just have this amazing room that you just, you know, you'd go into to ask them a question, like, you know, are the cards stacked properly or something like that. And they would just, it would just be, would be hacking miserable. So those little booths are a really great and beautiful thing. But I think that people, like in this article here on the smoking in Nevada, there's this nut. There's a nut talking about the cigarette smoking. And she's talking about she's a violinist and dancer who won't perform at casinos that allow smoking because they're booking a lot of dancing violinists.
Yeah,
that's her excuse. It's Diana Woodbury.
That's why there have been so few.
I love people who say they will not work somewhere that has never offered them a contract. I mean, she's never been asked to play any casino anywhere. But she says that even though it's not allowed in showrooms, even though most casinos no longer allow smoking, Woodbury said the smoke that wafts in from the main casino floor, it's enough to make her ill. If I walk past a smoker within minutes, I can't breathe. I have to use an inhaler. If she walks by, that's an allergic reaction. That's not secondhand smoke. Asthma and bronchitis, that's a different thing. Anyway, 866-313-3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. Light up a cigarette and give us a call, would you? Yeah, this is Penn Jillette. We're talking about smoking at 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. A lot of cool emails. Here's a very disturbing Gmail. I'm just going to read this and get it out of the way. Penn. That's not the disturbing part. I just recently quit smoking because my wife was just diagnosed with lung cancer from my secondhand smoke. She has never smoked in her life. Signed, Billy. I'm not going to give any more names for him. But I don't think she certainly should not have been diagnosed with a cause on there. Is that right?
There's no way to know.
Yeah, there's no way to know. So
genetic predisposition. You couldn't. You
there's
couldn't,
a very strong.
That.
So it's amazing that if the doctor said that that the cause was secondhand smoke, that seems just cruel. That seems really cruel. But because we don't know, we don't know. I mean, Dana Reeves, the Chris Reeves' wife, she died at 44 of lung cancer and never was a smoker. And they tried to say this stuff about her singing in clubs when she was younger. See, this is the part, the secondhand smoke studies that they always quote are these studies about, you know, kids living in a household with parents. The idea that you can go into a restaurant even every night of the week for a couple hours, I have to see a lot more evidence on this. I mean, I'd love if we could be proven wrong, if secondhand smoke really does absolutely cause an effect, just a whiff of it, it'd be terrific, because then we could do a Bulls hit on Bulls hit and bust ourselves, which we've desperately wanted to do. We're just waiting to be really egregiously wrong on something. Although we did a little cheat on our show on secondhand smoke, because we talked about how there should not be legislation, not that there was no correlation. And that's a whole different issue. You can call about that too, 866-313-FREE-3733. If secondhand smoke is good science, and it really does cause an effect directly cause people to get sick, do you ban smoking everywhere, or do you just say you can only smoke in these areas? Why can't there be a restaurant where all the bartenders, all the waiters, the cashiers, and all the people in there are happy, happy smokers all taking a chance together? I mean, we do allow people to be on freeways where everybody driving has, 15 deaths in every 1 billion miles driven.
Yeah, 1 in 7,000 people will have a car accident.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're going to talk about these
annually, every year, 7,000 every year, in your lifetime, every year.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, if there's this little hell holes of breathing garbage, they're no worse than the hell holes of the freeways. 866-313-FREE-3733. And Michael Goudeau, someone wrote in and said they took umbrage. They didn't want to strike Goudeau's fancy. They didn't want to get anywhere near his fancy. And having seen Goudeau's fancy, I'll let you have your own decision. I'm not doing
there's a reason I call it fancy, though.
I'm not doing a Goudeau fancy-free zone on the radio here.
Right.
So let's just go. Patrick's very upset.
Let's
look at Patrick's face. Patrick's very upset. He goes, get back to people dying of lung cancer. Get back to that. I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with people coughing up hunks of dirty gray lung as they lie in a pool of their own vomit and die. But you start talking about people having fun, I feel all funny down there, Pam. I feel all funny down there. Please stop. Let's take a phone call.
Let's talk to Ned on line 5. Are you there, Ned?
What's up, Ned?
Ben, how you doing?
Never better, boss. What's up?
I called in and because of the smoking issue. I smoked when I was a teenager, gave it up for years, and then started smoking again. To plagiarize Steve Martin, my doctor told me I wasn't getting enough tar.
Yeah. And do you like smoking?
No, I hate it. But
So you're still trying to quit?
Not even actively trying.
You're just disliking it. And how long have you been smoking this time?
Pack or two a day.
Yeah. And so in how many years? I just want to use the term pack years. I love that term that researchers use, which is the number of years you smoked a pack a day, or, you know, two packs a day, you multiply it out, it's pack years. But how do you feel about secondhand smoke? Do you smoke in public?
Yeah, where you can.
Where are you calling from?
I'm in Baltimore, cruising for hookers right now.
Are you smoking?
And I'm smoking.
So you
just rolled up. Hey, get out of here!
Can you smoke in bars and restaurants in Balmer?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so it's still, it hasn't got, because New York, you can't smoke, like, anywhere anymore. California, you can't even smoke in your car going across the border, can you? I mean, I make a joke like that, and then it's true. There's a town in California where no one can smoke anywhere, even in their own homes. So, you're lucky you live in Baltimore, because if you were in California, you might be forced to quit by the government.
Or New York.
Yeah. Or New York, but, or New York.
No, they introduced a bill, or somebody did, to ban it. And I think it's banned in D.C. now, but not the rest of Maryland.
Uh-huh. But there's still plenty of smoke-free restaurants, right? Well, how would you know? You only go to the ones that allow smoking. Well, good luck in finding your hookers, Ned. I'm sure there, I mean, when I was in Baltimore, there were great hookers around on the streets and stuff. So I'm sure Ned will have happy hunting. Although, isn't it early in the day? It's never too early for hookers. That was one of the big ad campaigns for Cool cigarettes. Have yourself a Cool. It's never too early for hookers. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Take somebody.
Let's talk to line two. This is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, how you doing?
Never been better, boss. How are you?
I'm a huge fan of the show.
Thank you so much, Laura. What's up?
Anyway, so I was calling because my aunt actually had the same type of lung cancer that Dana Reeves had.
Uh-huh.
And I was just calling because that type of lung cancer has absolutely nothing to do with smoking. Not that smoking is a good thing to be doing, but... it's hereditary. You get it in your mid-40s. Women get it mostly, and it lasts. You have major 4 years, and then that's it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'd read that, too, about the Dana Reeves thing. And I worry about that guy that wrote in and said that the doctor told him his wife's cancer was caused by secondhand smoke, because if that's wrong, that's really a horrible, horrible thing to do. So you're not a smoker yourself.
No, I'm not. No, I'm definitely not. But actually, my aunt, she had the gene test done after she was diagnosed, and they pinpointed the gene, and they were like, oh, if you had gotten this done when you were young, we could have said, when you're 45, you're going to get this type of cancer, and this is how long you're going to live for.
Oh, really? So they're getting that good at it. And so at that point, she could have just opened a pack of Cools and smoked on down, because it made no difference, right?
Excuse me?
Once you have that kind of
gene,
it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. So you could.
You know,
Heather Crow, who is the Toronto woman, the Canadian anti-smoking campaigner, who won a case, 2002 labor compensation case, by arguing that she contracted the disease from inhaling secondhand smoke during her 40-year career as a waitress, an ardent non-smoker. She just died. Yesterday. She died yesterday.
Wow.
She had claimed that her lung cancer was from that. I wonder how they're able to tell in your, was it your aunt's case?
Yeah, it was my aunt. They were able to tell it was going to be her mid-40s. It's the type of cancer. Like, I don't know, my mother has breast cancer, and they were able to tell that it wasn't genetic. Like, it was something in the environment. That's how she got her breast cancer. But my aunt, it was genetic. It was in her genes.
Are you going to a doctor that lives in the future?
Excuse me?
You get really good medical information. Is that available for everyone? Are they doing that now? We have to talk to Michael Goudeau, the science schmo. Are they able to tell different kinds of breast cancer? I guess they can. She wouldn't be lying to us.
She's not lying to us.
Why would someone on the phone be lying to us?
They're doing that now. They're coming up with five different types of breast cancer. They're actually doing stages. So, and then they can tell you what stage you're in. And then that's the type of cancer. But they're going to make it even more precise eventually.
Wow. That's great. The stuff that they've been doing on genetics is really wonderful. Thanks a lot for calling, Laura. I just started musing there for a moment. You know, that's the thing that kills me. You know, it kills me that 100 years ago, maybe 120 years ago, we didn't have anesthetic and we didn't have sterilization. You know, medicine was just, you go in and they slice off your leg with a hacksaw with no anesthetic and not the tools not even washed off from the last person. That's just 110 years ago. And I think that 20 years from now, the medicine that we have now is going to be considered so incredibly barbaric. Science is taking such huge advances.
You know, the doctors were against anesthesia because they thought it would ruin the profession. because part of the profession was the skill to get a leg off quickly.
Really quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. Doctors were against it?
They were against it.
Not all doctors.
Not all doctors, but many doctors.
Yeah, I went to the operating theater that they've opened in London, where they first did the first experiments with ether and stuff, and they showed the place they strapped the guy down to. Strap him down and then take his leg off with a hacksaw. And the really cool guys could get through in less than a minute, just with a person screaming and blood spurting everywhere. And even then, most of the people died. Even then, most of the people died. But so we've made these huge strides in 110, 120 years, and we're going to be making many more strides in the next 20 years. I mean, they're going to look back on this time as being incredibly
That's
barbaric.
Right. They used to give him what?
So 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. This is PennRadio.gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Call in. We'll talk about anything you want. Mostly cigarettes, I says. Ben Gillette here, father of newborn Zoltan Gillette. We're talking about smoking. And the woman that won 2002, it was Canadian. She won a case in Canada. So, it doesn't count that much. But Heather Crowe died at 61 years old. She was claiming she was dying of secondhand smoke. And there's also a half-assed study here in Vegas about secondhand smoke. And we're taking calls, 866-313-FREE, 3733, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Now, the jury will be out for a long time, because once they get a study that unequivocally says that secondhand smoke can cause health problems, then there'll be all sorts of degrees, right? I mean, can walking by a restaurant with outdoor smoking cause this, or is it just being in a little hermetically sealed booth with David Blaine smoking or something? That's what David Blaine should do next. He should get himself in a phone booth
for
and
a
smoke
week,
five packs a day. That'd be really cool. I'm going to smoke a lot, says David Blaine. That'd be a great stunt for him. But what really interests me constantly, and this is on every subject, but we'll take calls just on regular smoking, but I also want to kind of add to it that should the government, if you had conclusive proof that secondhand smoke hurts people, absolutely conclusive evidence, secondhand smoke being exposed to 1 hour a week in a restaurant will hurt you permanently and definitely, is that reason to ban smoking everywhere, or are people allowed to make their choice? I believe that if you're not free to do things that are stupid, you are not free. Freedom means acting stupid. No one needs the freedom to do what everyone thinks is smart. 866-313-FREE. 866-313-3733. Arguing for the freedom to be stupid. Let's take a phone call.
The point should be made. I mean, really, if we drop the speed limit to 15 miles an hour, we will save more lives than we have ever lost to cigarette smoking.
Absolutely.
In a year. So it seems to be a direct correlation, and I don't know why there's even an argument about this.
Right. You know, we do stuff that's really, really dangerous. It's like, people that are so freaked out about AIDS. If you have unprotected sex with somebody and then you drive home any distance at all, any reasonable distance, your chances of dying on the highway are going to be, they have to be much greater than their chances of dying of AIDS, especially with all the new medical breakthroughs on AIDS. It takes you forever to die of AIDS. But, I mean, even not including that, if you just say not dead but HIV positive. And certainly for secondhand smoke, the people who are smoking in their cars every day on your commute to work, if you start when you're 18 and you smoke in your commute to work every day to and from work, your chances of dying in a car accident have got to be much greater than dying cigarette smoking. So if the government is so concerned about people's lungs, why aren't they more concerned with traffic accidents? The reason is because cigarette smoking fell out of fashion because, James Dean died, I guess. Who's on the line? 866-313.
Elizabeth on line 6. Are you there, Elizabeth?
Hi.
Hello, Elizabeth.
What's up?
I'm just doing a radio show. How are you doing?
I'm great. I love your show, Provocative Topics. This is a
Thanks.
Great topic. I personally think that people should have the freedom to be stupid, but they should also have the freedom to be smart. The tobacco industry is a bunch of really, really slick bastards, and they get people with all kinds of advertising, and they get kids and stuff like that. Years ago, they were allowed, it was stopped. They weren't allowed to advertise on television anymore. So they got slick, and they started to sponsor motor vehicle races, like, you know, the Winston Cup and stuff like that.
Sure, sure.
So then they get to have their stuff on television and have it be glorified through, you know, motor vehicle races, which kids really like.
But if you're going to allow freedom of speech, and I'm going to take the really strong position here, how come I can go on a television program and make a joke and say that people shouldn't be allowed to smoke or something like that? And how come tobacco companies are not allowed to buy an ad on television saying that, okay, smoking may be dangerous, but you might like it? Why can't that, if that's a choice you can make?
It's not a level playing field. It's not a level playing field. Like, basically, for some reason, all the renegades in the world have decided that smoking is a way to show that they're not, you know, that they're cool, okay? That is, like, kind of like branding or whatever. Like, you know, the slick villain smokes in a movie or whatever. And that's a way for tobacco to get free advertising.
But isn't it possible that some of those actors and slick villains, isn't it possible that in a movie, have you ever seen a bad guy in the real world smoke? I mean, where do you start this? If art is imitating life, if there are people that smoke in the real world, why shouldn't they be smoking in movies?
I think it's a civil rights issue, and I think that, you know, to make it about freedom for smoking is kind of like giving the tobacco industry some more support that they don't need.
Well, let me just say, why do you think it's a civil rights issue? I want to.
I think that, you know, to make it a civil rights issue, that, you know, there should be freedom for smoking.
Oh, I see.
Taking away from the fact that people should have the freedom to make informed decisions.
So you're saying that you can't be informed when there's slick. You're saying that people are not able to resist advertising? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that children especially are not able to resist advertising.
And are you a smoker?
When you have a motor vehicle race with, like, some really, really, you know, cool dude driving a car, and a kid sees cigarettes kind of, like, associated with that, there's a lot of pressure on kids to be cool.
But are you a smoker?
I have been on and off for years, and it's like death on the installment plan. It's like
do you overtime
to kill you.
Do you take responsibility for your decision to smoke, or do you think it was big tobacco that made you smoke?
I totally take responsibility. Like,
okay, but you don't think
I knew that it was wrong.
But you don't think that other people can take the responsibility that you took?
Well, I work with children, and I have students who, you know, they don't know what they're doing, you know? Like, they can't make informed decisions about doing their homework, let alone, you know, smoking a cigarette. It's a dangerous thing, and it causes a lot of problems.
But, you know, you make an interesting point, because you talk about the, I don't know, auto racing, which I'm just going to repeat what you said, the Winston Cup and other sorts of racing. Isn't that possibly also encouraging these same kids to, when they get cars, to drive fast?
I think that's also another dangerous problem. I think that
don't you see what I mean? I mean, McDonald's, the biggest problem we have in this country right now is obesity. You know, we're all fat freaks. And boy, just the last minute I changed that word. But do you then think that McDonald's is responsible, or people that give larger portions at Outback or one of those places are responsible for the obesity? Where do you think you draw the line in advertisers being responsible for what the people do?
I think when you take it out of people's hands, like, I work with very disenfranchised students. I work in the South Bronx, and it's really, really poor. Okay, so you have people who are very poor, and they don't have the same kind of access to information that I or you do, and, you know, they're not making informed decisions because of their situation.
But do you really think? Do you really think that there is somebody? And I mean, maybe you're saying it's you, who is better able to make decisions for individuals than the individual themselves. I mean, how much of a draconian process do you want? I mean, do you want to force people to do what you think is best for them?
No, but I think that it should be tougher for McDonald's and it should be tougher for tobacco companies to basically get over on people who are too stupid to make a good decision.
But you understand that although what you're saying in the abstract sounds really cool, when you talk about specifics, the only thing you can be talking about is there being a government police force that tells people who they can put in movies and what those people can do and who can sponsor sporting events and who can use the airwaves to promote their point of view. I mean, what you're saying in the abstract, we all want what's good, is one thing, but the enforcing of that is what troubles me. I would much rather have people like you call in radio shows and rant against those people and have that be a bad image for them than to try to have some sort of government mandate that uses force and violence to stop people from making up their own minds.
Well, how about leveling the playing field a bit? Like, for
how will you do that, though? How will you level the playing field?
With education. Like, with my students, I do 3 lessons a year based on, you know, looking at tobacco advertising and looking at the messages involved in these ads, which are just totally ridiculous. I mean, they have women who are thin and beautiful, and they have, you know, just it's the Marlboro Man and all that retarded stuff. I mean, just asking them to be more aware. And
but you do understand that I have seen beautiful, sexy women smoke cigarettes. They do exist. That's not a complete fallacy.
No, but cigarettes don't make you more beautiful, and they don't.
No, but people who are beautiful can smoke cigarettes, and I don't think they're saying. I mean, what you're attacking is really all advertising. I mean, there are people in cars who are attractive. You don't have ugly people selling cars. That does not mean that cars make you attractive, even though it may feel like that in a visceral way. I mean, it seems like your argument really ends up being against all advertising, all of it. And once you've made that argument, the next step, because you said they're wily and slick, is to then stop all art. Because if you don't allow them to advertise, then they have slick villains smoking cigarettes. I mean, I do understand that you want people to be safe and healthy, and I share that agreement, but I also want to know how you do that without curtailing important freedoms.
I try to get them to understand that an ad is not necessarily the truth.
And absolutely. And I think you should be doing that.
To make their own decisions about what they're going to buy. And being an informed consumer is one of the most important ways of how to protect yourself.
There's no doubt about that, and I'm really glad people like you are teaching and pushing that viewpoint. I just don't want people like you to be hijacked as another reason for the government to come down harder on freedom of speech and so on. But thanks so much for calling, man. I said, man.
That was so polite.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for calling.
Well, you know, you and I are nuts, and we don't drink at all. And
I've never had
should we be in charge of the laws?
Yeah, exactly.
If you and I were in charge, no one would drink. You know what I mean? Aspirin is a drug. Do you still say no? You know, I don't understand these lines.
Yeah, it's really tough. And I think it does come down to the freedom to do stupid things. I mean, certainly, if you want to talk about dangers, alcohol is really, really dangerous. It causes a lot of crimes, causes all sorts of problems. I've never had a drink in my life. I'm totally against it. But I do believe that people should have the freedom to drink and do things that are stupid. And certainly, I don't smoke. And I have had a cigarette to my lips, unlike, you know, alcohol, which I've never even touched. I have had a cigarette to my lips and smoked a bit in the show. You know, I do a fire eating thing. But I don't want it banned. I just don't want the government to have more power. I think the most important thing is freedom. And I think freedom may be important, more important than health. Give me liberty or give me death. And happy birthday, Bob Dylan. Light up one for us.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.